Episode 2. This is the second part in our four-part mini-series dedicated to the Catholic Church's beautiful teaching on the dignity of every human life. Last week in Episode 1, we set the foundation for our entire pro-life mini-series. And that foundation is truth and love. This pro-life mini-series has always been, for the past 10 years, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And it will be said with love. This whole pro-life mini-series is about truth and love, which is the same thing as saying it's all about Jesus. He is the foundation, since he is truth and love. And we discovered last week, when we were talking about love, that love is not a feeling. It's not an emotion. Love is an act of the will. It's an act of the intellect to want what is good for another. And we talked about last week, as a father, I really, truly love you. That means I want what is for your ultimate good, not your temporary happiness. And we used an analogy that I hope has stuck in your mind this past week, and that is the analogy of the parent and the hot stove. Remember, I compared myself to a parent as a child gets near the hot stove. I sometimes have to say, "Don't touch it! It's hot! It'll burn you!" with that same sense of urgency in my voice. Because I don't want you to get burned. And yet, remember, as a good parent, if because of your ignorance or because of your stubbornness, you touch the stove, remember, like a good parent, I'm willing to kiss your hand and pour in the oil of God's mercy and bandage up your soul in the sacrament of penance. It's a great analogy. It's a great analogy for sermons. Some sermons, I have to say, it's hot! Don't do it! It'll burn you! And other sermons are about the healing power of God. So that brings us to today, to Episode 2. And there were so many important topics that I wanted to talk to you about here in Episode 2. So many of the church's moral teachings that we still have to reflect about. But sacred scripture today clearly has inspired me to focus on one theme, the theme of healing. Healing. That's what the first reading is about, with Naaman the Syrian, who is healed of his leprosy by the prophet Elisha. And then, of course, in the gospel, the 10 lepers who are healed of their leprosy by the new Elisha, Jesus Christ. It's all about healing. And as I reflect on many of the topics that we have discussed over the past 10 years in our pro-life mini-series, there is so much healing that still needs to take place. Mistakes have been made. Sinful choices have continued to haunt our minds and our souls. And so there is real healing that we still need from Jesus, the Master Healer. But as I reflect on all of the topics that need healing, perhaps the biggest topic that still needs healing is in regard to abortion. And in my ignorance, I say to myself, well, we don't need to discuss that here. Everybody knows that abortion is wrong. Everybody knows that in the United States of America, 4,000 little babies die every day. 4,000 little tiny babies. If it's really that many, and I believe it is, that means that we probably know, every one of us probably knows somebody who has been involved in an abortion. And studies show that women who have had abortions really have a hard time. There's anxiety and depression. Studies show that women who have had abortions are 30% more likely to have anxiety disorders. The risk of suicide is 2 to 6 times higher for women who have had abortions. And in a recent online survey of women who have had abortions, listen to these statistics. 80% feel guilty. 80% feel guilty. 83% regret the decision. 79% feel some type of loss. 62% are angry that they did it, and 70% are depressed because of their abortion. Those are pretty high numbers. Lest we leave out the men, men struggle too. Dr. Arthur Shostak conducted a survey of men who have been involved in an abortion. 80% of men said to him that the day their girlfriend or wife had an abortion, it was the worst day of their life. 80%. He followed up with those same men, and they experienced feelings of anxiety, depression, worse than they had anticipated. They feel a sense of responsibility that maybe they were manipulative or unsupportive or even abandoned the mother. So men struggle too. So in the midst of this anxiety, depression, anger, frustration, I'd like to tell you a story about a woman from the Archdiocese of Milwaukee by the name of Vicki Thorne. And one day, Vicki Thorne's friend got pregnant. And she decided to give her little baby up for adoption. All was good and well. A couple of years later, that exact same friend got pregnant again. But this time, the mother said, "You better get an abortion." So she did. And Vicki Thorne's friend then experienced all kinds of problems. Suicide attempts, abusive relationships, chemical dependency with drugs and alcohol, even abusive toward her own children. And she confided in Vicki. She said, "I can live with my adoption, but I cannot live with my abortion." And so Vicki Thorne said, "You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to school. I'm going to study psychology." So she studied psychology with an emphasis in grief counseling, trauma counseling, and listen to this, even spiritual direction. And with all of this background, she started in the Archdiocese of Milwaukee what has become popular in dioceses all across the nation, Project Rachel. Project Rachel, a beautiful program for healing for anyone involved in an abortion. These little yellow pamphlets are in the back of the church. They've been in the back of the church for at least the past 2 years. You can go pick one up. You don't have to do it today on your way out of Mass. The church will be open. You can come sneak back later and take one of these pamphlets. Project Rachel. It's for anyone who has been involved in an abortion. If you've had an abortion, if your girlfriend or wife has had an abortion, if a friend or relative has had an abortion, if you're the doctor or nurse who has even performed an abortion, Project Rachel can give you some healing. If you feel sad, angry, depressed, if you say, "I'm no good on the inside," if you have guilty feelings, if you say, "It's my fault," or "I told her to do it," Project Rachel provides healing. If you have flashbacks, bad dreams, if certain dates cause you undue anxiety when you hold a baby or see a beautiful pregnant mother and break into tears, Project Rachel has the answer. Pick one of these up or come see me. There is great healing available. It's so beautiful. Holy Mother Church is so beautiful. Not only does she say, abortion's wrong, it's hot, it'll burn you, don't do it. She also says, if you've burned yourself, come to me for healing and forgiveness and mercy and a chance to start over. Project Rachel is available through Catholic Charities across the nation, and especially here in our own diocese, and even another group very similar to it, Rachel's Vineyard, started by Father Frank Pavone, who is the National Director for Priests for Life, along with Dr. Teresa Burke and her husband Kevin. And this group, Rachel's Vineyard, goes around the country giving retreats for anyone involved in an abortion. And they talk about healing and forgiveness and a new beginning. Project Rachel, Rachel's Vineyard. You can find Rachel's Vineyard at www.rachelsvineyard.org. There's all kinds of help there. Did you ever wonder why these groups are named after Rachel? Project Rachel and Rachel's Vineyard. There's a good reason. Who was Rachel? Remember who Rachel was? Rachel was Jacob's second wife, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. His second wife, but his first love was Rachel. And Rachel bore two very famous children. Remember who they were? Joseph in the amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. And Benjamin. Joseph and Benjamin were children 11 and 12 of Jacob, the two youngest of the 12 sons and tribes of Israel. That's who Rachel was. And Jeremiah quotes Rachel in chapter 31, verses 15 to 17 in the Old Testament. It's a fascinating passage. In Jeremiah 31, 15, he says, Rachel mourns her children. She refuses to be consoled because her children are no more. And so Jeremiah has, this is fascinating, Jeremiah has Rachel rising up from her grave, mourning her great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren who are being sent off into exile in Babylon, never to be seen from again. Rachel is mourning the loss of her great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren. But the Lord has a response in Rachel's weeping as she mourns her children being sent to exile. It's in the next verses, verses 16 and 17. Thus says the Lord, cease your cries of mourning, wipe the tears from your eyes. The sorrow you have shown shall have its reward. There is hope for your future. Isn't that beautiful? And so as Rachel, rising up from the grave, is mourning her great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren being sent off into exile, the Lord says, but your tears will have great fruit. For someday we know that those exiles would come back from Babylon. They would come back from Jerusalem to start a new life and a new beginning in Jerusalem. That's the story. And that's why Rachel is the patron saint for all of these healing groups. One last note I would like to leave you with is from the words of the servant of God of blessed memory, Pope John Paul II. And in his very famous encyclical letter, Evangelium Vitae, the Gospel of Life, number 99, he addresses a particular paragraph to women who have had abortions. He says, I would like to now say a very special word to those who have had an abortion. And this is what he says, minus the Polish-English accent. The wound in your heart may not yet have healed. Certainly what happened was and remains terribly wrong, but do not give in to discouragement and do not lose hope. Try rather to understand what happened and face it honestly. If you have not already done so, give yourselves over with humility and trust to repentance. The Father of Mercies is ready to give you his forgiveness and his peace in the sacrament of reconciliation. You will come to understand that nothing is definitively lost, and moreover, you will be able to entrust with hope your infant to the same Father and his mercy. Beautiful words from Pope John Paul II. So, if the wound in your heart has not yet healed, don't lose hope. With humility and trust, cry out to the Lord, Jesus, Master, have mercy on me. He will heal you.